Haiti went from being the first independent black republic after a successful slave revolt to the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Now flooded with international aid agencies, it is commonly referred to as a republic of NGOs, and it has received billions of dollars in foreign assistance. But with issues of political instability, poverty, and food insecurity, have aid agencies provided a pathway for development, or have they created a culture of dependency? Joining us to discuss this are Emmanuela Douillon, she's executive director of Policite, a public policy think tank in Haiti, and Jake Johnston, senior researcher at the Center for Economic and Policy Research and the lead author for the organization's blog, Haiti, Relief and Reconstruction Watch. Thank you both for joining me on Upfront. Emmanuela, I'll start with you. Over the last decade, $13 billion have been poured into Haiti. The country has hosted thousands of NGOs, and yet Haiti remains the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Have aid agencies failed Haiti?
I would say that to some extent, aid agencies, the aid industry failed Haiti because we have little to show for all the amount of money that was spent in Haiti. And if I consider what happened after the earthquake in 2010, this was a large appeal. But 10 years later, you still have people who are on the tent. And we have very little. We cannot see what was exactly done with this money. And in some, I think that they failed us. I had high expectation, and everyone in Haiti had high expectation that we build better. But at the end of the day, here we are. The situation is worse than it was before the earthquake.
Hmm. Jake, you have also critiqued the international aid system. You've said that it benefits the donor countries. And it's the reason that Haiti has been unable to build a kind of strong set of institutions internally. You claim it's not an accident that this happens. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you look at this and you look back to 2010 and what's happened after, right? And of the initial billions of dollars spent on humanitarian assistance, 99% bypassed the Haitian government, local institutions, right? In terms of long-term development aid, it's a very similar story, slightly higher percent. But overall, the money doesn't go to Haitian organizations or to the Haitian government or to build any local capacity whatsoever, right? And what it does do is it goes to a handful of firms, largely closer to my office here in Washington than anybody in Port-au-Prince, right? And that is not an accident, right? I mean, this is the foreign aid industry that we have built to prioritize supporting jobs in the United States and to support our industries, both in terms of direct employment, but also creating new markets for agricultural goods and things like this. Those are the priorities that have dominated our interest in terms of creating this foreign aid industry.
Emmanuela, the UN peacekeeping mission, which was in Haiti until 2019, was responsible for introducing cholera into the country, killing thousands of people. Peacekeepers were accused of sexual violence, including rape against hundreds of people. And beyond this, the mission is often talked about as being more like an occupation. Did UN peacekeepers end up fueling hostility toward outside help?
Definitely. And are we fair to that UN peacekeeping mission every time I advocate against intervention, troops, like a peacekeeping mission in Haiti? Because
Of all sorts?
Yes, because it doesn't work. We've had, like, the minister, we called it, for several years. And all I can remember is that while they were there, they did a few things here and there to help fight insecurity. But it was a large amount of money spent to rent houses for them. And we know that the sexual abuse. And at the end, they left. And here we have a gang problem. We have, like, kidnappings every day. The police is weak as ever. And at the end, we are asking, like, what exactly did they do? And it's just a clear one more example of how foreign intervention, whether it's from the UN or other countries, do not work if they do not take into account the weakness of the institution in Haiti, and they do not work in close, like, relationship with those institutions to try to reinforce them so that we do not depend on foreign intervention.
Jake, what do you make of what Emmanuela says here? I mean, is it possible to learn from what has happened and have an outside intervention that does no harm and maybe even allows the construction of a strong Haitian infrastructure?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what do we mean by intervention? I mean, I think when we talk about a military intervention or a peacekeeping intervention, no, I mean, that should be off the table. And I think, you know, we've seen this lesson not just in Haiti, right, but forever. And there are other things happening right now, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, right? And similar to Haiti, this is a failure of foreign-led nation-building efforts, right? So it's easy to look at Haiti and say, oh, okay, this is a failed state, things are going really poorly. But we never look in the mirror and look at what our role has been in precipitating that crisis, right? This is a UN mission that was not just there for security, but also to drastically reshape the political and economic life of a country. And that's not the role of outsiders to do, right? So can the international community provide meaningful support to Haiti, in solidarity with Haiti, to support Haitian-led efforts to actually lead their own development? Maybe that's possible, but that's going to take some serious soul-searching from the international community to drastically change the way they approach these issues.
Emanuela, you've said that Haiti still needs additional foreign aid, but that the aid should be conditioned on, quote, cleaning up and reforming the country's institutions. So, effectively, that is a kind of attempt to influence internal policy or internal leadership. How do you strike that balance between saying we don't want to over-determine what happens inside the country, but saying that we have to condition aid on basic human rights, basic law and order, etc.? Is it possible to strike a balance even?
I think it's possible to have a balance because it cannot be an all or nothing like thinking in this case, because we still need maybe funding in Haiti to finance our development, because we do lack resources. But the main problem with previous intervention we've had is that there is a large gap between the motives, the incentive, and the need of the Haitian people. So we definitely need to have people who want to help follow what the people want. And it's very important when I say the people, because what the people want is not necessarily what the officials want. Because in a state like Haiti, the government is sometimes working for their own interests. And you need to question whether you're financing the government project or the, something that the people really want, something that's really good for the country. Because as it's happened in other countries, autocrats or like corrupt officials will use foreign aid to remain in power.
Emanuela, the president of Charity Watch says that nonprofits in Haiti exist in, quote, a black hole of accountability, which has allowed it to get away with, quote, a lot of waste and abuse. How is it that there are no mechanisms to hold NGOs, foreign NGOs, accountable for their actions?
There are, like, many reasons why they do not hold NGOs accountable. They employ a lot of people to begin with. If you work at an NGO, you have a really good job in Haiti. So even people in the state, people working for the government, some of them work as consultants for NGOs. Therefore, they do not have an incentive to impose like stricter regulation or to control what the NGOs are doing. And I know cases of corruption where local officials will ask NGOs to hire people for them so they can implement a project in the community. They mingle and they see the NGOs as a source of like revenue, and therefore they are like, okay, we let you be and we benefit from the money. So it's really complicated, and there are many reasons why they.
And you know, I add to that too, right? I mean, aid agencies, whether it's, you know, bilateral organizations or NGOs, and who are they accountable to, right? They aren't accountable to the Haitian people. That might be where they're working, but they're accountable to their donors, whether it's, you know, private funders, USAID, the EU, et cetera. I mean, the key metric is just, did you spend the money, right? It's not about how effective you actually did that. And we've seen this time and again. I mean, you know, so much money goes to outside actors because of this fear of corruption in Haiti. Certainly, Emanuela will be the first to tell you, like, yes, there is corruption in Haiti, but there's also corruption everywhere else, right? I mean, there's corruption here. We've institutionalized a fair amount of it. We've legalized plenty of it. But when you go and you have a big NGO working in Haiti and they're buying, you know, brand new cars, renting out the houses in Benjaminville, that looks like corruption too, right? I mean, and so until we actually are holding, until their funders are holding them accountable, right? It's a little, you know, it's a little rich to be saying, why isn't Haiti holding these actors accountable? We don't hold them accountable.
Jake, you've said before that Haiti is not a failed state. You said it's an aid state. And that agencies have, as we've talked about, an extraordinary amount of influence over the political process. Can you talk about that distinction you're making between a failed state and an aid state? It's a provocative one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we're talking about here are looking more at root causes and why things are the way they are, right? And so putting Haiti into a category as a failed state, I think for most people, you know, the message is that Haiti has failed, right? And I think what we're looking at, again, like I was talking about earlier, is this is a failure of foreign-led nation building, right? And we're not just talking about foreign assistance, but foreign intervention more broadly, right? Coup d'etats, overthrowing governments, overturning election results. And so then to turn around and say, oh, well, Haiti's political situation is, you know, unstable and, you know, untenable. Well, why does that exist? Right. And we have to.
Now, the pushback, of course, is that by framing it as an aid state, it suggests that the outside agencies are exclusively responsible for Haiti's condition and that there's no room to talk about internal corruption, internal lack of accountability, lack of transparency in various processes, whether it's the electoral process or whether it's, you know, other ostensibly democratic processes.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's plenty of conversation inside Haiti around what needs to be reformed inside Haiti. Right. For me, as an external observer and somebody focusing on the role of external actors in Haiti, right, we can't shift that burden and say all of the blame lies on Haiti when we've played a role in precipitating this, right? And so for those outside actors that are now looking to come up with a new plan of how to intervene or how to do things better, well, you're going to have to look in the mirror first before you can do that, right? And so until we can accept that responsibility to whatever extent it does exist, right, you're never going to produce something different. You're never going to be able to adapt from that and create something more sustainable. So, you know, again, it's about changing that frame and looking in the mirror first before we point our fingers at Haiti.
Emanuela, do you see a time where Haiti will no longer be in need of aid?
I do, but it will be difficult because it's an industry in Haiti and it's really working. Mm. So we will have a lot to do to force people to understand that you cannot be fighting, let's say, cholera in Haiti for 25 years doing the same thing and stay in business. At some point, we will need to move from aid to other form of partnership. And it can happen. I'm positive. I think it will happen, but it will be hard.
Well, we'll continue to keep watch of it. Thank you both for joining me, Jake, Emanuela. It's been a
thank
pleasure
you for
to talk
having
to you.
Me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Everyone, that is our show. Up Front, we'll be back next week.